Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is where I struggle, because there's nothing worse than a nuanced topic when you're trying to give a 90-second interview on a station outside the city.
Right.
There are sound bites of Deshaun Watson saying that he really likes Eric Bieniemy and he respects what he's done.
Yep.
That doesn't mean that Eric Bieniemy is the only guy that Deshaun wants. He's been asked about Eric Bieniemy. And look, Deshaun liking Eric Bieniemy is not news. Deshaun saying, no, I don't want Eric Bieniemy to be my coach, that would be news. If somebody asks a question about Eric Bieniemy, then Deshaun Watson is going to, yeah, give a good, positive answer about Eric Bieniemy. But that doesn't mean that's the only guy that he wants.
Yeah.
Or even that he has a specific guy in mind. It's that he respects the work of Eric Bieniemy, but I think he understands that there's other guys out there and there's other concerns. The other thing is this, and this is annoying me, and on behalf of Deshaun Watson, I want to say that, well, not officially on behalf, but like, I think people assume, oh, Deshaun wants a coach and wants input into the coach, so he must want an offensive coordinator coach. He's never said that. All he's talked about is culture and leadership. I don't think that means that he's not saying I want what's best for me, right? But I think some people just assume he wants what's best for him. He's saying I want what's best for this team. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's the best offensive coordinator. That doesn't mean it's an offensive-minded head coach. It could just be just that. He wants what's best for the team, for the defense, for the special teams, for everybody involved.
Well, when he was asked what you need in a head coach, he didn't bring up offense or defense. He brought up culture. He brought up leadership.
Yeah.
He brought up big pictures. I'll point out, too, Seth, you know, 90 seconds after he said what we played a minute ago about Bieniemy, he had this to say about Matt Eberflus.
From what I've heard and played against, I mean, he's been very, very disciplined. I mean, that's the type that you want, you know, from the players and the scheme that I've been playing against Indianapolis. They're about what they do, and they do it perfectly. And they understand, you know, different concepts and what they want to do as a, you know, Indianapolis Colts defense. And that's why they've been so successful. So from what I've heard, too, about him, he's been, you know, he's a great guy to play for. And of course, you know, he's a defensive-minded coach, and, you know, I think it helped him. But, you know, we'll see. It's so much of the unknown and so much of, you know, this is the first time I've been through it, so it's kind of hard to have, you know, a vision, you know, without, you know, any experience and any guidance with it.
I think Seth, and so that's Deshaun on Matt Eberflus, just kind of making the point, Seth's point, that, look, if he gets asked directly about a guy, he's going to answer about that guy. I think some of the perception with Bieniemy, Seth, if Bieniemy is passed over, or if you're a Texan fan who wanted Bieniemy, but he winds up in Detroit or Philadelphia especially, which are, I think, are viewed as worse situations than the Texans right now, or worse jobs than the Texans right now, believe it or not. I think a lot of the perception will be, okay, who did the Texans hire? You know, if they get a hire that the fan base is generally happy with, then there will be a lot less heat over them not hiring Eric Bieniemy, right?
Where are you right now? I'm going to go with the less conventional hires right now, like the names that aren't at the top of the list. There aren't coordinators or what have you. Where would you personally be if they hired Jerod Mayo?
Better than I was at the beginning of the hiring process, because I've gotten to know a little bit more about him. Seth, in general, and even despite the fact that Glover Quinn came on our show this week and said good things about Jim Caldwell, and despite the fact that I hear great things about Caldwell and the people making case for Marvin Lewis and things like that, I am generally skewing towards the side of this team hiring a young, charismatic, energetic up-and-coming coach and letting that coach grow with the organization and grow with Deshaun Watson, especially because I don't think this team's contending for a Super Bowl next year. So I think if you get in on a young coach who has a high ceiling, he sort of has a redshirt year to maybe make some of those first-year mistakes, learn from them, and adapt. So I would be better with Mayo. You know, Brady and Staley are at the top of my list of those coaches, but Mayo would be really intriguing, and I think he'd be somebody, from what I've seen, who I think would win over a lot of fans when he got here in that initial press conference.
I think the guy that – his name is out there because he interviewed with the Jets, and it would be a huge out-of-the-box hire, but who from – I think from so far his experience in the NFL, he's done really good things at the position coach level. From his experience as a player in the NFL, and I know him personally, has outstanding leadership, leader of men type stuff, all the intangible stuff. And he's been in the league for a long, long time because I think he was drafted in 1993 or 4 or so. Aaron Glenn. What if they hired, like, out of nowhere, what if they said Aaron Glenn is our next head coach for
the
Texans?
Good one. It fits the mold of what we just talked. If I'm saying yes to Jerod Mayo, I've got to say yes to Aaron Glenn, right? I mean, he's a former Houston Texan. Like, that's Jerod Mayo with the PR victory that goes with it, right?
Right.
How
well,
would you feel?
That, you know,
he's your former teammate. How would you feel about it?
I'd be nervous because my job requires me to criticize people, and I'd be excited. I'd be really excited. I think it'd be a good hire, but I'd also know crap. Great. Now at some point, look, it's the NFL. There's going to be at least four times a year where they have a horrible game, and I'm going to have to criticize the coaching. But other than that, I think that. I would be excited about it, but I would be hard for me to divorce my personal opinion from it. I think Aaron will one day be a really good head coach in the NFL. I think he checks off a whole lot of boxes. Unfortunately, he hasn't been a defensive coordinator yet. That's one of the boxes he doesn't check off.
Right.
The Saints have a great defense this year. I think he's done really good things in getting the most out of some of the defensive backs he's working with. Did I say he's the defensive backs coach for the Saints?
You did.
So I would be really excited about it, but I would understand because he doesn't have that experience. I think I would understand why some people would be super, super skeptical.
Yeah, I don't want him now because I don't want to get the text that our show is an apologist for Aaron Glenn when the team starts 3-7 or something next year.
Because all that happens. For one, okay, we've already been through this with Anthony Weaver because I tried really hard to be as objective as possible.
Same here.
And, you know, some people accuse me of playing favorites with Anthony Weaver. I've talked to enough people around the league now that tell me, like, Seth, look at who was playing on the defense. Right. Look at who was in your secondary. The only thing, what I would say about Anthony Weaver, where I think that he could have done, his was almost a strategic issue, not on a game planning issue. But I think if he had really known how bare the kitchen was going to be, and if he'd had he would have earlier said, all right, you know what, we're just going to have to try to turn this into a zone defense. We're going to have to get guys really, really good at playing zone. We're going to have to try to minimize things. And then maybe, because that takes, if you want to be a good zone defense, it takes a lot of reps. You got to just practice, practice, practice. This is a year where it's really hard to do that. So could he have, but no matter how well he executed that strategy, I think they still would have been a bad defense because of the personnel, but maybe it wouldn't have been quite as bad in a few
less
moments.
Bad. Less bad. Let's go to Stafford and talk to John. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. John, good morning.
Yes, sir. Good conversation this morning. Two things. First of all, and Seth, I know that you're an expert in everything, so I'm sure you can tell me if I'm using the right word. I think that Cal McNair is codependent, and I'll tell you why, and that may be the wrong word. First of all, he allowed a dominant personality like Bill O'Brien to just totally run over him. And now he's allowing more of an amiable type, con man, truthfully, to, use his religion, use his friendship, use his anything he can to dominate him. I don't know if that's true, and like I said, that might be the wrong word, but he just doesn't seem to me that he can stand on his own and really do things, make the big decisions and everything, that he always wants someone else to be there. The second thing is, and I don't know if this is true or not, but what, have y'all talked about this, and I try to listen as much as I can, what players on the Texans right now, obviously, what players do they actually think they could get anything for, before the next cycle of, before the next draft.
Okay, yeah, John, let me jump in there because we're up against it here. We'll take that topic into the next segment. What assets does Nick Caserio have to work with? If replenishing draft capital is a key thing for him, what assets does he have to work with? The first question about Cal, Seth, since you're the expert on interpersonal relationships.
Iko, was I detecting a certain amount of sarcasm? And
I think he was sincere. I think it's funny.
Okay,
he's like, you're the expert,
right.
And then I expected him to ask about zone defense or something. But he's like,
those are my own insecurities seeping in.
He was being sincere.
I thought he was being sarcastic.
Go ahead.
Okay. I hate it if I come off like that. I try not to. I know a little bit about a lot of stuff. But as far as the codependency, I would say that I think from the outside looking in, what it looks like is that Cal was taking over, after having to watch his father suffer through the final years of his life and take over, it probably a kind of a tumultuous time in Cal's life, that the arrival of Jack Easterby is what turned it from what could have been maybe an underperforming but conventionally underperforming franchise, where you've got a GM and a head coach and maybe they butt heads and you got to go a different direction or something. The arrival of Jack Easterby, maybe, and his ability to make people feel like he has all the answers, that Jack Easterby can speak with a whole lot of new age buzzword mumbo jumbo about being your best you and knowing the why and all of that kind of stuff, to making it feel much like a good preacher would, to make it feel like he has the answers for which you are searching. He's got a plan and there's a way to do it, and this is how we reach the promised land. And I think that maybe Cal was vulnerable to that. And maybe he is under the spell of Jack Easterby. And it happens to the best of us. I've been duped before by people like Jack Easterby, so I know how to recognize it. And that's why I had my spidey sense up the moment he showed up at our doorstep.
You have.
I think there's a toxic relationship there. Jack Easterby is not good for this organization, nor would he be good in this capacity, in this role, which nobody can actually define even what his role is, in any NFL organization. He's not qualified to do it. So he needs to be rooted out before it gets any worse.
If Nick Caserio wants to replenish the draft capital for the Texans for this April, for 2021, what avenue does he have to do it? It's a good question by the caller, Seth, and I'll take a look at it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.